Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Internationally renowned, respected across all industry lines. Yes, the Phil Hendry Show, 1 to 4 at night. Now.
What are you saying there? Like, it's no good.
It's fine. I'm just kidding around. All right. Tonight, we give away one of the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. We've never done a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie giveaway, and we certainly haven't done one by way of the actual mainstream of the show. This is what I call our main, this is the fast lane of the show, because we also have, of course, our backstage pass viewers, people who are watching us on video. They join us for pre-show, where there's all kinds of nonsense that goes on there. And sometimes we will give away shot glasses on the pre-show, but tonight we are going to be offering, as a giveaway, one of our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. There are going to be five questions that you will need to answer. And you will need to answer all five of them at once. But I will ask those questions intermittently throughout a portion of the program tonight. I'm not going to take your mind off of what it is we're going to talk about right now by asking one of those questions. I will ask that at the end of the hour so that we are not, distracted from the business at hand. And the business at hand, as you might guess, has to do with Sanford, Florida. It has to do with more news coming from Sanford, Florida, and the news around Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, and all kinds of ancillary news concerning the killing of that young man. One of the ancillary items from Washington, one of the congressmen today in the House of Representatives, I believe it was Representative Bobby Rush. Is that right, Bud?
Yes, the old guy.
Bobby Rush put a hoodie on and went to the dais there, or the speaker's podium, I should say, in the House of Representatives to deliver his remarks. He was escorted from the podium because he had broken the dress code of the House. While it was not a big to-do, because many are asked to leave the podium if they're not dressed properly, many are not. And so it's not something that's uniformly enforced. And the I believe it was Emanuel Cleaver asked John Boehner, would you please enforce this dress code in a more uniform way? And that way we can have, we don't have to have people feeling as if they're being singled out. I think Representative Cleaver understood why Representative Rush was led from the podium, but he wanted to make sure that everyone realized, look, he's not the only guy that breaks these rules. Joining us here for the Citizens Auxiliary Police in the South Bay of Southern California tonight is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We had him on last week talking about this because this issue, what happened in Florida, has a lot to do with what you do, Jay.
Well, Phil, I'd like to say, first of all, thanks for having us on our program. I really do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I do like to think, Phil, that that what happened in Florida has nothing to do with what the Citizens Auxiliary Police do. This man, Zimmerman, was a neighbor, by our standing, was a neighborhood watch person. We're a little bit more professional than neighborhood watch. We are a volunteer group, but I can assure you that we have a far more disciplined ranks. Many of us, I feel, could very easily have been police officers or members of military police, but we want to go our own way and sort of approach the problem of law enforcement in our own way, you know, without making too much of a big deal. So,
what would you say is the major difference between the Citizens Auxiliary Police and a neighborhood watch and George Zimmerman?
Well, George Zimmerman, this man carrying a weapon, I don't know of any neighborhood watch that's going to allow that. Neighborhood watch people are not qualified to carry a weapon. We don't carry weapons, even though we're probably qualified to, but I don't allow our members to carry weapons because I don't want to run afoul of the police. We don't need that kind of hassle. So what Zimmerman was doing with that weapon, trying to play cowboys and Indians or, you know, trying to be a big man, I don't know. So that's number one. Number two, there was nothing that young man was doing. I understand the hoodie, and I heard what Geraldo Rivera said. That's why I wanted to mention to you tonight. We are wearing hoodies tonight, Phil, on our patrols.
Oh, you are?
Yes, we are.
What do you mean? You're wearing them as you, what, drive around?
Well, we're out in the malls tonight, and one of our subcommanders, Subcommander Gleason, is wearing a hoodie and approached a lady who looked like she had too many kids for the SUV she was driving. And the reason why I wanted to mention that is because she became alarmed when she saw him approach her wearing his hoodie. And I want people to know, if they're out in the areas that Citizens Auxiliary Police was primary in South Bay, if they're out and they see one of our people, and we have asked our Citizens Auxiliary Police subcommanders to walk in the manner of a young, if you want to say, a young black male, which is to walk slowly and have your head dipped down. The reason why is so that we are not trying to, you know, be something other than who Trayvon Martin was. You know?
Well, wait. But you're out there and you're conducting these Citizens Auxiliary Police patrols, but you're walking, as you said, like a young black male.
Yeah, what we're asking our subcommanders to do is, yes, we're professional, but we want them to take on the physical body language of the young black males they walk so that people will know we're in solidarity with it, okay? We're not trying to...
So this lady that your subcommander Gleason approached got alarmed?
She became alarmed, that's correct. When Subcommander Gleason asked her how many kids she had at that time, it looked like she had about four or five children getting into a very small SUV, which was what we call a sub-mini SUV. We felt that was very unsafe because the lady herself looked to be overweight. And so we wanted to ask her just how many kids are getting into this van and did she feel was safe. And she became a little bit alarmed, and that's when the mall security came over, and we told them who we were, and the guy backed off. Generally, I like to let these mall security types know who we are because these guys, a lot of them, think that they're Wyatt Earp or Cowboy or some deal like that.
We're talking to Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, whose Citizens Auxiliary officers, or you call them subcommanders, are out tonight wearing hoodies. And walking, you say, affecting the body language of young black males. I'd like you to tell my audience what that is.
Well, again, Phil, we're not. This is not a racist statement.
No, I know that, but your reasoning, you say, you have these guys walking like young black males because you want to look in solidarity with young black males.
That is correct. Yes, and they're walking slowly. They have their heads down. The movement from side to side is a little bit exaggerated.
What is identifying them as members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police when this lady became alarmed?
Well, we have a hoodie. We have the Citizens Auxiliary Police hoodie, and we have the name across the front. And that's what I was going to mention to people. We are selling those. And we are selling them for a little bit less, I think, than your Ted's of Beverly Hills one.
And you're selling these hoodies now for what reason? I mean, is it to...
Well, it's to make money for Citizens Auxiliary Police. And also, you know, we have a right to sell them. And
all right, so we're getting into a different area here of commercializing these things.
Well, that's a point to be raised, but we're not... We're not George Zimmerman. We want people to know that we're on the other side of that. We're just like that kid. Only we are, you know, like George Zimmerman in that we're.
You're the Citizens Auxiliary Police, but you don't want to identify with this guy that shot this kid.
That is correct. So.
Hence, you're wearing the hoodies, and you're also selling them.
Right, but when you mentioned that we're selling them, I want to stress to your audience, and I want to stress to certainly anybody who would feel that, you know, we're taking advantage of the situation, that, you know, we're selling them not to, I mean, I don't want anybody to think we're making money more than we want people to wear a hoodie and remember why they're wearing a hoodie, and the best way to do that is to make them pay for it rather than just give it away.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. With me is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're talking about the shooting in Florida and the reaction by your group, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, to it. You guys are starting to wear hoodies out on patrol. And, you know, Jay, there's all kinds of things to talk about, as we often say. The very fact that you exist is controversial to some people, and that you are out on patrols and that you're stopping people. Now, you stopped a woman with children tonight.
Right. So when you say that we stopped somebody, I don't want it to sound like we're creeping up on a woman, we're going to scare her.
No, I don't believe that that's the case, but by the same token, you had Sub-Commander Gleason out there wearing a hoodie, walking real slow from side to side with his head down, affecting the body language of a young black male.
Well, why should that scare anybody? See, that's racism right there. See, that's the racism there. Why would I scare anybody?
Well, it scared that lady, didn't it?
Well, I don't know, but Sub-Commander Gleason quickly identified himself and simply said that he felt she had too many kids and that her body weight was excessive for the type of van she was driving. And he gave her what we call a reminder.
What is that?
It's just a written reminder to show it to her husband, who most likely is going to be the one that makes the decisions on what kind of car they're driving, to show to her husband that she had been given this reminder that it looks like with her body weight, with the body weight of the children, that the van that she's in, maybe this suspension is... Boy, I just got nervous all of a sudden. Maybe the suspension's not strong enough.
What made you nervous?
I don't want people to think that we're creeping up on anybody out there.
No, I understand that, Jay. It's just the action itself. The hoodies, the fact that they're for sale, the fact that you're walking like young black men out there, the fact that this lady was scared. And I know you're trying to make a positive statement. I wonder if it is.
I firmly, firmly, firmly believe it is. So we've gotten a clearance from Major Elvis Newton. So we are good to go. And
all right, let's take a break here very quickly. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Henry Show as we talk with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the hoodies that they're wearing. And the solidarity they feel for the family of this young man, Mr. Martin, the fact that they don't consider themselves to be doing the same thing that George Zimmerman's doing, and all of the other things that go along with this terrible story. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and don't forget, later on tonight, we're going to be asking you a series of questions for your own Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police with us tonight. We will have Bob Green from Fraser Foods later on to talk about this pink slime, which you perhaps have heard about in the news. It is meat filler, and it's being discontinued. The use of it is being discontinued by companies across the board because consumers just don't like it. Jay Santos with us as we're discussing. We're into the second week of the repercussions and the tragic aftermath of what happened in Florida. You as a citizen, a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Jay, you guys are wearing hoodies tonight, you say, for solidarity purposes.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and yet you already scared one lady by, quote, walking black?
Well, let me explain about the walking black so that people are going to understand. What I mean by that is to simply affect that sort of stroll that you do see young African-American, probably young white Americans do it too, but I think it is more something that is borrowed from the hip-hop culture. And we are in solidarity with young people. We're saying they have a right to wear hoodies and to walk in that manner. And when Sub-Commander Gleason walked up to that lady tonight, and she got frightened, we settled down. Phil, I don't want to make it sound like she's all angry at us. It settled down, and we gave her a reminder on the body mass and the body mass of the kids.
And this was having to do with the weight?
Yes, sir, having to do with the amount of weight she was putting in her minivan.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I want to get over to a phone call here. We are talking with Jay Santos tonight. Here is Dusty on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Dusty.
Yeah, Phil, I'm not quite sure what's giving this guy the power or the commission to walk up and talk to somebody like that. It just sounds to me like it's a glorified neighborhood watch, because he's always said he doesn't carry a gun.
No, sir, we do.
Okay.
Sir,
and are you
there's no law. Well, there's no law against walking up to someone and asking them a question, is there?
Well,
I don't think there is.
But do you not see how that lady is getting worried or upset that someone could be approaching her like that?
she was worried because we were wearing a hoodie. Well, now, why would you say that? See, that's racist. That's racist. Because the kids are wearing the hoodies. Well, the kids are wearing a hoodie now. Everybody wears it. Mr. Henry.
They've been wearing hoodies for a long time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So why would you all of a sudden be scared? The kid that got shot was wearing a hoodie, sir. Not the other way around. What? Not the other way around, sir. It wasn't Mr. Zimmerman was wearing a hoodie.
Well, no, it wasn't.
You know.
But you're saying that you're auxiliary police officers, first of all. What are you commissioned as? Are you commissioned through your city?
I don't know what you mean by commission. You're talking about some political process. We are citizens who are concerned with the job that police are doing, which we think is a good job, but it could be better. And so
You don't have no arrest powers.
We have the same arrest powers all citizens have, which is the constitutional right to citizens' arrest.
Do you really know what a citizen's arrest is?
I most certainly do. Well, you know, I mean, who are you? I'm just a guy here trying to talk about hoodies, and you're all.
Well, I'm an actual police officer working on the road right now, so that's why I'm asking you if you actually know what a citizen's arrest is.
Well, if you're an actual police officer, I'm worried now because you're talking to me and you're jawjacking and gasbagging with me when maybe somebody's out there getting jumped from behind.
Hold on for a minute. Let's allow the officer to, you know, he may be on a break. He's calling in. And I think it's important to have a police officer call in.
Well, because you're trying to make me look bad. You're trying to make me look bad. Yeah.
Well, nobody's trying to make you look bad. We're just trying to get to the bottom of, you know, are you commissioned? What's your arrest?
All I'm saying is, my arrest power is the Constitution of America. I'm not a commission. I don't know if you mean, do I get commission like a salesman gets commission?
A commissioned officer.
Am I paid by commission?
Where in the Constitution does it say that you have the right to go pull the citizen's arrest?
Well, sir, I have to remind you, this country was founded by militia. Okay, so, yeah, citizens' militia.
Right.
You can't find it in the Constitution because it's not there.
It doesn't matter. You have the right to citizen's arrest.
The citizen's arrest is not in there.
Well, you do have a right to citizen's arrest. You do have a right to citizen's arrest. Hold on, officer. You do have the right to citizen's arrest, correct?
It's not what people are thinking. You can't go physically detain somebody.
I didn't physically. All we did, and then I'd like to move to another call, Mr. Henry.
I'll decide when we move to the calls, Jay.
Well, all we did was tell this woman that her body weight and the body weight of her children combined was probably dangerous for this cheap truck that her husband put her in.
Well, then what is the gross weight that it takes for that vehicle to operate safely?
Well, I'm not answering any more of your questions. You know, I got to ask you a few questions. You know, like how many donuts did you eat last week? Did you stop any crimes? How many murders were in the sector that you patrol? Did you honestly do your job last week? You're the guy that's getting paid by the people. I got to ask you. I'm not getting paid.
Jay, come on now.
All right, okay. All right, okay, yeah, but we got to move on because we're kind of stalled here. But I thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We might have time to grab one more phone call here before we go to the break. This is David. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, how y'all doing tonight?
Good, sir.
Hello, David. I'm going to try to touch on some topics that weren't pretty. My question is about the hoodies that they're wearing. I understand he wanted to talk about the hoodies, so...
Right, we got the hoodies that we're selling right now to Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Yeah. What would stop, say, a thief or a mugger or someone who wants to commit an armed robbery from purchasing one of your hoodies, then going committing a crime under the appearance that he is a Citizens Auxiliary Police?
Well, same thing. You have police officers. You know, there's guys arrested all the time for impersonating a police officer.
Yeah,
you know, It's against the law.
A little harder.
Can't do it. It's against the law. And,
this guy's making a good point. You could go out.
Good.
Yeah, this guy's making a good point. You could go out and... hold on for a second here, David. We'll be right back with you. Got to take a break. You could go out and buy a Citizens Auxiliary Police hoodie.
Well, are you thinking about doing that, Phil? I don't think you are.
No, but somebody might.
Well, I can assure you that it would take It would take a lot of guts to do that, because if I found out about it...
Well, let's talk about it when we come back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who's wearing hoodies in solidarity with what happened. It's scaring some of the people that they're talking with. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show.
If I found out about that, I'd be pretty pissed off.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
Live from the El Pacifico tonight and every night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're online at philhendryshow.com with our live streaming video of the show. And, of course, with a backstage pass, you can watch Phil TV in HD. Jay Sanis is with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It's a volunteer group. They've operated around Los Angeles. My understanding, there are ancillary groups throughout the country, Jay, correct?
That's correct. So my brother Ross, as a matter of fact, is with the Bay Area Riders, which is San Francisco area Citizens Auxiliary Police. We have a group that have a sort of a whimsical name, Beaver Brigade, which is in State of Oregon. We have the West Texas Range Riders. We've got a Gator. What we call a Gator Bait. The Gator Bait Boys. Those are our people in Florida.
Now, this Gator Bait, these people that are the auxiliary cops in Florida, were they anywhere near this Sanford?
No, they're just getting organized. I don't know if they're in Sanford. I think they're in Jacksonville, Orlando, some other areas like that.
All right, and we're talking about hoodies. The fact you're selling Citizens Auxiliary Police hoodies. I want to get back to this gentleman, David, who had the question concerning you wearing these hoodies, and perhaps not you, but others buying these hoodies and committing a crime. David, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead, sir, with your comment, if you have another comment to make.
Yeah, and understanding he wants to talk about the hoodies, I have another question about it. And it's not...
Right, yeah, sure.
Issue.
Well, question, right.
If my wife were putting the kids in the vehicle in a parking lot at, say, a mall or restaurant or whatever, and someone was approached her wearing a hoodie, walking with a black type walk or however you described it.
I call it kind of what we call it the urban. We call it an urban slump or an urban sort of urban slide.
You're talking about
you get this urban swerve, something like that.
Go ahead, sir. Because it's starting to sound. The more you talk about it, Jay, the more racist it sounds.
Not racist at all, Miss Rarity.
Well, okay, go ahead, David.
Somebody approaching her like that. Then I really need to sit down and have a talk with her. Because any person, any reasonable person, should be alarmed by being approached by somebody wearing a hoodie and conducting themselves in a suspicious manner. Black, white, Asian, it does not matter.
Well, I don't know what you call suspicious, sir. We have right across the front of it Citizens Auxiliary Police. Sub-Commander Gleason was doing, I guess, the best, like Michael Jackson, when he used to walk on stage. Okay? If you
What, like a moonwalk?
Not a moonwalk, although you can affect that if you want to, but it certainly doesn't look threatening. And all he asked her was, because this was a heavyset woman, I don't know if your wife is heavyset, it makes no difference to me, but we're thinking of the safety of the kids. You got four children getting into a van with a very heavyset woman. You lose a spring, you lose suspension, you lose an axle on something like that. Now you got yourself a tragedy. Real tragedy.
Vehicle, no matter what your size is, I don't see where that's relevant. But I'll get hoodies and your organization. Something else, I mean, I can go get a hoodie right now and get it silkscreened and get FBI put on the front of it. The difference between a police officer approaching somebody and one of your officers is, a police officer is going to be in a marked vehicle. He is trained on how to approach people and not to alarm them. He is going to be in a marked vehicle. He is going to be in a uniform. He's going to identify himself. And people identify with police officers, not a guy walking up with a swagger and a hoodie over his head.
Well, sure, I would remind you that the reason why we're talking tonight is because of this situation. We're trying to show that you can walk with a hoodie and put have an urban swerve and be totally, you know, cool, and you're not going to hurt anybody.
Well, you're not hearing what this man's saying. He's saying in a parking lot at night, the best thing you can do is to approach someone as safely as you can with full harmless intent to let them know who you are, what you want. As he mentioned, the police officer walking up with a hoodie and doing this, what you call urban swerve, because you want to show solidarity.
Well, Mr. Henry, I think you and this gentleman are missing a larger picture. Larger picture is that this George Zimmerman made me look bad and made a lot of auxiliary police look bad by acting like a clown.
Okay, David, thank you for your call, sir. Are you all done, sir? I wasn't sure if I heard that gentleman right. 877-876-PHIL. Acting like a clown, how?
Yeah.
You talk about George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman, yeah. Not, isn't that the same guy that runs the Men's Warehouse? I'm curious.
The Men's Warehouse?
I thought that there is a George Zimmerman who runs Men's Warehouse here in Los Angeles.
George Zimmer or something. I don't know, Jay. I don't know.
All right. Well, the point that I'm trying to make very clearly is I'm not trying to be George Zimmerman, that guy. And the other thing I can assure you, Phil, if someone silkscreened one of our hoodies or took a hoodie and silkscreened on the front of it says auxiliary police, I can assure you that they better not. Because if I meet up with them, they're gonna hope that there's a time machine somewhere that they can get into and go back to the past and unsilkscreen it. That's what their only hope can be. Because of how pissed off I'm going to be if I find out anybody doing anything in name of citizens auxiliary police.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let me go down here to another phone call, talking to Jay Santos here of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Here is Gay Lynn. Hi, Gay Lynn. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, ma'am.
I wanted to comment, the hoodie and the swagger or the swag and the behavior
right.
Like that is not behavior of like men. I work with the public on a daily basis. I actually work for a chain of casinos. You're not allowed to wear hoodies or sunglasses.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
What about in the poker tournaments? What about a poker tournament?
We don't do that.
They do it a lot in Las Vegas, they do.
We're in South Louisiana.
Well, that's kind of small time, you know. We're talking big time.
Well, we're not talking about who has the big time casino. We're talking about security.
What I'm talking about is working with the public on a daily basis and saying that is
yes,
behavior black men is wrong. That sounds more like thuggish behavior.
Well, excuse me, ma'am, but are you saying that the way a black man walks is like a thug? That's what you just said.
Any young man walking that way, I see young black men, I see young white men walking that way. I see young
well,
black
you're saying
men
walk,
who
are you saying they
hoodies.
Right.
It's more of a thuggish behavior that you're trying to imitate besides being a young black male.
Well, I mentioned it's a walk similar to the kind of walk that Michael Jackson did on stage.
I don't know what walk that is other than the moonwalk.
No, I've never
What's
seen
that?
Michael walk like that. What you're describing is more of thuggish behavior than young black males or young men, period.
Well, like, if you look at it, here's a white group. This is a white group. Have you ever seen Linkin Park, the way they walk around? They walk like they're ready to bust someone's head wide open, and they're white.
And that's what you guys are walking like?
Yeah, but it's not black.
They're entertainers. Yeah, we're talking about on a
daily basis. Wait, now all of a sudden you're giving them a pass because they're white?
We're talking about...
Oh, they're entertainers. What if I said it was Public Enemy? What if I said it was Public Enemy that walks like that?
It doesn't matter. I love the group. They're great.
They're entertainers. What about Anthrax?
Will you just listen to what the lady's saying?
Saying that is the behavior of young males, to me, that in itself is racist. Young black males do not walk around.
Well, ma'am, all I was saying was the way the little boy, this poor boy in Florida, and that the thug was George Zimmer, the guy that runs the. I keep thinking of the man that runs the Men's Warehouse.
We still do not know everything that happened with that young man. Now what I
oh wait a second,
is,
wait a second. We know that Zimmerman was way out of control. And what are you doing with a gun? What are you doing with a gun riding around a neighborhood in your truck?
We still don't know the details.
Right there. We know the details. We know the details. The kid had a iced tea, he had Skittles, and he had a phone. And the other guy had a gun. That's details enough for me.
What are you doing policing overweight women in vans?
That's what the real question here is.
That lady was overweight enough to bust the spring on that van. And that means only one thing. You lose the spring, that means the center of the vehicle collapses. That means the vehicle traveling at a high rate of speed is now dragging the center of that vehicle on the asphalt. You're getting sparks, the possibility of a fire, and an explosion. So now what you have is a van with four children and a woman, that is a ball of fire traveling at 120 miles an hour. Thank you.
Right. And I remember you saying that.
She was overweight enough, ma'am, to bust that spring and create a conflagration that could be seen for a mile out.
Well, I'm sure, but I'm saying, though, you're out policing women getting in vans. He was the captain of his neighborhood watch, from my understanding.
Oh, a captain. Well, let me just salute. I bet you his wife sewed the stripes on his shirt for him. A captain. That's not a military rank, ma'am.
Well, neither is whatever you are, Brigadier Admiral. All right, thanks very much for your call, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. One of the things that I don't know that I'll be able to keep silent about here is if anybody calls this show and starts giving any kind of a point of view about how, well, you know, we don't have all the facts. I'm not saying that they're not entitled to their opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Phil.
Well, wait a second, Jay, because I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Phil Hendry now. If I hear anything like that lady, I let her have her say, but right there is exactly what's wrong with this country. That's race. I don't give a damn what anybody said. We don't have all the facts. When do you want to wait to get the facts in?
Bill, I just want to say something. I'm totally in agreement with you, though. Everybody thinks that I'm not.
Yeah, I know that. That's the part that scares me. In any event, all right, so we'll just move on here. I got to take a break anyway. 877-876-7445.
Maybe you want to just take over the program here or something.
No, I don't want to take over the program. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. I won't get into it. I'm sorry I said anything. 877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos is with us. They have a hoodie, and he's walking like Michael Jackson 1 minute, and the next minute like Linkin Park. I don't know what he's talking about. We'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What do you talk about? I know what I talk about.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to, in three, four, 5 minutes, take a few more calls, but then we're going to ask some questions for our free Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. There's five questions that you need to answer tonight, and they have to be answered correctly to win a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. And you wanted to make a comment about that, Jay.
I certainly do, Mr. Henry. I mean, I've been taking quite a bit of heat this evening from Larry Kors about the Citizens Auxiliary Police hoodie. And here you are. You're giving a hoodie. You know, you're giving one out. And
well, first of all, you're selling yours, and you're wearing yours out there as you're out patrolling, talking to women about how big they are and how the kind of car they're driving.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we're wearing ours, and we are doing it in solidarity with everyone that wears a hoodie.
And you're walking like, how did you put it, like, you know, Michael Jackson on stage. I didn't know he walked like in any particular way.
Well, I did say, well, we walk like any group. You know, my son went and saw Ludacris. We walk like Ludacris.
Who? Ludacris?
Right.
So when there's a guy with a hood on and he's walking like that, coming up to a woman in a dark parking lot, I don't care if he's walking as if he's if he just won the posture award. You know, it's going to scare somebody.
The posture award? What does that mean?
If he walks, in other words, with the most upright posture in the world, it's still going to. It might scare me even worse. That lady got scared. That's the point that was being made. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Margaret. Hello, Margaret. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just wanted to make a remark about Zimmerman. I heard someone on another talk show say that perhaps he broke his... They keep saying he had a broken nose. He may have broken his own nose from holding up that 9mm too close to his face, and the kick backfired, and he broke his own nose. And made his own bloody
I wouldn't
nose.
Doubt that, man. That sounds pretty reasonable, man, considering everything I've heard about this guy Zimmer. He sounds like a real... He sounds like a real, you know...
He's
a real butterfinger. Sounds like a butterfinger to me.
If that's a booking photo that they're showing on TV, that's from another day. Because I don't know how they do things in Florida, but out here in San Bernardino County, they don't put you in orange and take your picture until they're ready to throw you in a cell. So
they're going to throw you in a cell after you're placed on arrest.
Yeah, see, they didn't arrest him for anything, so you're right. That wouldn't be a booking photo. Where'd they get that picture, do you think?
Before.
Maybe that was a driver's license photo. Well, maybe it's a driver's license photo. You know.
Orange?
No, he's not wearing orange. He's not wearing orange in that picture. No, the picture is Zimmerman.
Hold on, Phil. I'm the citizen's auxiliary policeman, not you. But Phil is right. It could be a driver's license. And
what?
Even if he's wearing orange, maybe he's wearing orange, you know, orange T-shirt or something.
Yeah, but
you know, whatever.
It made sense because. When I was married and I had small children, we had a 9mm. And my ex-husband would tell me, sit down in a chair before you shoot anybody because it'll knock you on your butt. So, you know, the kickback.
Yeah, probably.
If you're not used to, I mean, people don't go around shooting 9mm like they do in movies. And just like with
well, they do. Yeah, they do. They do it in Sanford, Florida, apparently they do. Yeah.
No, the lady's talking about how they're held. You know, you don't hold it sideways like you're in one of these flicks. Like
yeah,
you're in Collateral
just
don't go
around or shooting with that much ease.
You know, that movie I saw, Trespass, that one with Ice-T.
Whatever. All right. Very good point, ma'am. And you're right. He wasn't arrested, so there would not be a booking photo. That photograph of him, he looked decidedly unhappy. That's why I was assuming it was an arrest photo, but he wasn't arrested for anything.
Right.
So that's a good point, Margaret. Thank you very much for your call. 877-876-7445.
Well, it could be like a driver's license picture. Or it could be that he just stood in the hallway there of the police station and was worried and someone caught his picture like that.
Stood in the hallway and was worried and somebody walked by? I doubt that very much.
Well, I mean, how else do you explain it?
I don't know, man. Like I said, it could be driver's license. He looks very worried, so maybe it was a previous arrest of some kind. Who knows? 877-876-7445. This is Ray. Go ahead, Ray. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
I had a question about sweatshirts. If someone was to buy one of your sweatshirts and then commit a crime,
sounds
like if they were to do that, that you would turn yourself into Zimmerman and get revenge on whoever does that in a violent manner from your comments.
Well, no, because I would have Zimmerman was running around like he's some kind of, you know, big shot. This would be a guy who's got my property, my citizen's auxiliary police T-shirt, and he's acting like a thug. I have a right to go and, you know, get some street justice.
Street justice?
Street justice? Well, that's not vigilantism. Everyone's calling Zimmerman a vigilante, and you're just talking about becoming a vigilante yourself. Getting street justice.
Hold on for a second, though. What happened to Zimmerman? Who did anything to him? He's just driving down the street acting like a jackball and decided he'd pull his gun out and shoot a kid. Okay, me, on the other hand, some guy took my sweatshirt, and he's running around, you know, raping. I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he raped an old lady.
Buys your sweatshirt. It's not his property,
yeah.
Right? That car doesn't belong to Toyota.
You can't do whatever you want with my insignia on you.
Well, yes, you can. Well, I mean, you can. In other words, if I bought a Mickey Mouse T-shirt and I robbed a bank, Walt Disney can't sue me. I can get arrested, and I can go to jail, and I can have all those things, but Disney can't come around and say, how dare you rob that bank with Mickey Mouse?
Well, you didn't rob it with Mickey Mouse.
No, I mean, how dare you rob the bank with a Mickey Mouse T-shirt?
I don't think I think you're wrong about that. I think Walt Disney would have a legitimate claim.
But, no, man, you're not.
My worry as a citizen out here is that your organization will see somebody commit a crime wearing one of your hoodies, and that they'll get their street justice, to quote you, and that they'll wish they had a time machine, to quote you, because the wrath that you would inflict on them, they would wish they'd have, and that's vigilantism. It's their T-shirt.
I said they'd, Well, all I said was they wish they had a time machine to go back in the past and not buy the shirt. But...
which is whatever that means. I agree with this gentleman. What you're saying, Jay, sounds very violent, very scary, and quite frankly, very illegal. Because as I said, you can do anything you want in any shirt. You can commit a crime in a shirt, and the person that produced that shirt can't make a claim saying you did something in my shirt. Thanks very much for your call, Ray. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-7445. Jay, I'm going to ask you to get on hold here for just a second, because it is now time on the world famous Phil Henry Show it's now time for us to take a quick break. Let me ask this question. This is the first of five questions you need to answer correctly in order to win a Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirt. The first question: the name of the very first character ever performed on the Phil Henry Show. The name of the very first character ever performed on the Phil Henry Show. I've mentioned it in interviews countless times. What is the name of the very first character ever performed on the Phil Henry Show? That's question one of five. You need all five correct answers and be the first person with them to win the shirt. We will give you the other four forthcoming in the show. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
The hoodie. Phil.
I mean the hoodie, yeah.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us. We may have time for Robert Green later in the hour. We asked a question for the free hoodie tonight. The first question of five is the name of the very first character ever performed on the Phil Henry Show. You have to answer that correctly, and we'll give you four more questions before... probably before the hour is out, if not the next 90 minutes. Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is joining us. We are talking here about the Trayvon Martin story that has extended into its second week. And, well, it should. It's a story that brings to the fore our fear of crime, our misunderstanding of people, the neighborhood watch aspect, the vigilante, the citizen soldier. This guy, I'm led to believe by some callers, George Zimmerman, that picture of him, Jay, is a mugshot from an earlier arrest.
That's what I said it was.
Well, no, you said it was a driver's license.
No, you said it was a driver's license. I said it was probably he was arrested earlier for some other offense.
Well, it's an arrest from some sort of a altercation with a police officer. Might have been resisting arrest or assaulting a police officer. I don't know what it was, but it was a previous arrest.
Yeah, if you look at that picture of that guy Zimmerman, he looks like he's about to lose his lunch, you know. He looks real scared. Looks real scared. As well you should be when you are interacting with a police officer. And that's why I said to your audience, Phil, if we found out that people had taken the Citizens Auxiliary Police hoodies that we're selling to show our solidarity with all of the young people and people that, you know, want to dress the way they want and want to let it all hang out and be, you know, be part of young generation and everything. What we were saying basically is, that's we're in solidarity with them. And
all right, let me Trayvon Martin, the story here. There's a couple of them. One of them is, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, lawmaker chastised for wearing hoodie in House. That was Representative Bobby Rush, who was wearing a hoodie during a speech on the floor of the House of Representatives. It violated the dress code of the House of Representatives. And then the other story, Tracy Martin, who is the father of Trayvon Martin, said he watched the video on television in a Washington hotel on Wednesday night. He says he doesn't see any evidence of any kind of a scuffle. From what I saw, Zimmerman had no blood on his face, had no grass stains on the back of his clothes, no cuts on the back of his head. Family attorney Benjamin Crump said the video and lack of evidence of a struggle knocks down Zimmerman's claim of self-defense and shows officials botched their investigation. Getting back to what you were saying, Jay, in showing your solidarity, walking up to people in this kind of slow urban walk that you call it.
Well, we call it urban swag or an urban swerve. And all that means is we're trying to, and Phil, we did this a number of weeks ago. We were approaching a group of women who we wanted to talk to. They were going on in a restaurant. It was a public restaurant. It was a public building. And these women were going on about, of all things, the Casey Anthony trial. Now, the Casey Anthony trial, Phil, as you know, has been over since June. People were very emotional over the Casey Anthony trial. People were, threatening and all of these things are really not good, I think, in the long run for the mental health, really, of a society. And we were at, I believe, the Cheesecake Factory. If there was a Cheesecake Factory, Joey? Cheesecake Factory. And we heard a group, a table full of women who were talking, going on and on and on about the Casey Anthony. And at that time, we did then approach the table and did at that time issue a reminder to them that what they were talking about really made them sound stupid. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we were wearing the hoodies at that time to show solidarity, and there wasn't no woman who got upset. There wasn't no woman that was scared.
Did you walk up to the table with the urban walk? And
yes, sir, we did.
Well, it was broad daylight.
It was broad daylight, that is true. However, we did do this urban swag or urban swerve as we approached a table, and we told these women, we issued a reminder that what they were talking about, the Casey Anthony trial, really made them sound stupid. And,
you know, I would really love to talk to you sometime about these reminders that you're issuing people as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I can see a woman's lack of concern for safety if she's getting into a van because she's too heavy. Excuse me, but I don't understand where you get off telling people what to talk about.
No, we're not telling people what to talk about, Phil. We're not telling people...
Well, that's exactly... You issued somewhat reminder.
We were simply saying it was a group of suburban women, unemployed, most likely have husbands at work, probably have to... We were waiting around to pick up their children from school, and we're going on and on and on about a Casey Anthony trial. But the point I'm making is, when we walk up to these women, at no time did any of them become afraid or scared, or I don't want you want to call freaked out or anything, over the fact that we had the urban swerve and there were three of us.
877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're going to get a phone call in before we take our first break. I don't know who we have on the line from last hour. Pete?
Yeah.
Is this you, Pete? Yeah, go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, sir.
You know, I'd just like to make a comment that Jay not only contradicts himself constantly, but he really appears to be a really sad spokesman for a group that is that puts itself up to be a Citizens Auxiliary Police Patrol. I mean, this guy sounds like he's been... The kind of person that has been bullied in school. He sounds like somebody that has probably never had a lot of respect in his life. So now he's going to get respect by being some kind of spokesman for society through the Citizens Auxiliary Patrol. And it's just it's sad. If he really thinks that it's a legitimate organization, I'm sure, but I just don't understand his philosophy. And then he says that he walked up to these women. Now, you made a lot of assumptions there. I mean, you must be like friggin' Sherlock Holmes, because how do you know that these women were unemployed? How do you know that they had kids at home? How do you know what they were doing? Other than somewhat offending you by talking about something that maybe you didn't want to hear. Now, what makes you society?
Well, I can
you
tell you, if you use the powers of, you know, we can talk about a lot of what you just said. A lot of it was personal, which I'm a professional. I'm not going to comment on it. But I will tell you
you're a professional.
I want to comment on what you just said, sir. First. Number one, if you use your powers of observation, you can see these women are well-appointed, they're well-dressed, they have jewelry. The cars that we saw them pull up in and leave in were obviously, you know, nice automobiles. So I'm going to assume
I thought you said they were already there and you walked up to them. You didn't say anything about it, seeing them arrive and leave.
Well, obviously you're going to notice some nice-looking ladies.
You said they were
going to notice.
Restaurant.
You're going to notice nice-looking women. If they're going to walk in, you're going to look at them. You're going to look at them.
Let me ask you something. The last time I checked, California was part of the United States, and the United States still has some semblance of free speech left. So you know what? Those women should have been able to talk about whatever they wanted to talk about without you sticking your nose into their business.
I agree with you to a point.
What gives you the right to stick your nose into somebody else's business and tell them that they sound like a jerk? You know what? The same right that he gives
you. I can tell you, sir, that
the Supreme Court has ruled, sir,
that you can't say fire in a crowded theater, okay? The Supreme Court's ruled there aren't limits to speech. There aren't limits to speech.
Give me a break. You know, I bet you were the only person in that whole restaurant that felt the need to get up and say something to these people. I will guarantee it.
It was myself and two sub-commanders. Well, I don't know, sir. I didn't ask everyone. You want to make that bet someday? Maybe we can make that bet. I didn't canvass the restaurant. I will tell you that they were speaking loudly enough for me to hear all of their stupid opinions.
Let me say something here. Hold on for a second. I want to say something because Pete's making a point here. Whether the opinions are stupid, whether they're intelligent, whether they're anything, so what?
I just said, Mr. Henry, there are limits to speech. You can't say fire at Crowd Theater.
Only your limits. Your limits is a limit.
No, sir.
It's Jay's limits to speech. You're as much of a dictator of free speech.
I agree.
I agree with you. You're a joke.
No, sir.
You are a joke.
You got to check your constitution, sir. I don't know if you carry one. I carry one.
Oh, do you?
I got my car.
You better read it, then.
Yes, I do.
You better read it.
I think maybe you should, because it says right there in black and white, we got free speech, yes, but...
No, it doesn't say any but in the Constitution. This is a this is a Supreme Court ruling on the limits of speech when they ruled you can't say fire in a crowded theater because it affects public safety.
Was there anybody else in that restaurant up in arms about their speech other than you? No, there wasn't.
It could very well have been. It could have been a panic.
It was just Jay.
What?
Jay was upset by what they were saying because they were talking about some citizens group that he belongs to, except he's out here, and you know, you guys are, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
They were talking about Casey Anthony this and Casey Anthony that. How much of that you want to hear?
Let them talk about whatever they want.
How much of that? And if it makes people, if it was making me sick, at what point do I get to get up?
Then why don't you get up and leave? Why do you have to get in their face? People like you are a joke. I've grown up around people like you my whole life. You know, you get a little bit of authority, and all of a sudden you're going to be the world's sheriff. You're going to stick your nose into everybody's business under the guise of helping the police out. And I tell you what,
no, sure.
You are a friggin' joke. You're a
right
joke.
Out there, you saw what happened in Florida, and we're trying to, you know, I got my
sisters in Florida. I'm talking about you and your friggin' opinions out here. You got no right to go up to anybody in a van. You got no right to go up to anybody in a restaurant and shove your opinions down their throat. You got no right at all.
I was told by Sub-Commander Gleason this woman was overweight. She was going to snap the axle.
Sub-Commander Gleason. All I care about Jay. Tell me about Jay.
Had I been in that situation, I would have definitely done the same thing Sub-Commander Gleason did. I would have reminded the lady that she's, I'm going to beat man-to-man. She got a big fat ass on her, and she's going to kill somebody with it.
So what?
She's going to kill somebody if she gets into a van and it can't carry that kind of weight.
You know what?
Maybe
that van was a special van that she had made to carry her weight. How do you know?
Oh, yeah, right. Sure.
You always assume. You assume everything
well,
in
you
your
just
favor.
Assume.
You assume everything
you're
in your favor.
No, you're assuming that she went out and had a van made for a big fat ass.
You don't even know.
Right now.
You don't even know.
Your reaction to me, sir.
I tell you what, the only circumstances you have is what you want. You're going to twist every situation to fit your needs.
You strike me as the kind of guy who's probably got a big fat ass on a woman.
Please.
Your wife got a big fat one?
Hey, you know what?
All right, you're getting real personal now. Let's not go there, Jay.
All I want to know is who appointed you to be everybody's conscience.
Citizens Auxiliary Police. We take a peek over the shoulder of the police.
Well, the whole idea of your organization, Jay, may be harmless in some instances, but in this instance, approaching somebody in a hoodie, walking with some kind of an urban slouch that would telegraph to some people danger, walking up to a lady with four kids, And then tell her that her ass is so big she can't get into the van.
Let me tell you something, Bubba. As soon as a white boy starts trying to act street, you're in trouble. Because you know what? You can't pull it off. You can put a hoodie on. You can tattoo yourself up. You can walk with whatever kind of swerve you want. But you know what? Legitimately, you're just a punk. You'll always
I've been
be
around.
Punk. You're just going to be
I've been around. I've been around a lot of black
you're
people.
You're going to have no credibility on the street. None.
All right, I got to take a break. I appreciate very much your call, sir. Thanks. That was Pete, our number 877-876-7445. Thank you, sir. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Jay Santos, and wow. All right, we're going to have, right after this commercial break, we're going to have another question in our hoodie contest. We've already asked one question. We'll have another one. And our number, 877-876-PHIL, for comments concerning our discussion tonight with Jay Santos and the hoodie controversies. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Oh, no.
The Phil Henry Show.
Oh, no, man.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I understand. I'll talk to him in a minute.
Yeah, David Hall.
I understand. I'll talk to David Hall in a minute. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Just another break left here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
I want to mention to you that I guess you already heard. My wife's watching Vivecast. Said there was no audio in that last set.
I understand there was no audio. Yes, I did not turn the audio. This has been an ongoing problem that I guess I can't solve, and I please apologize to your wife.
Well, I mean, we are backstage. We do have a subscription, or we bought a subscription so that we could watch the program tonight as well as listen to it, because I knew that I was going to be on, and that entire last segment was not on your audio.
Yes, I understand that. I apologize. That's an oversight. That's you know, I can't tell you if there's people out there that are upset, it doesn't even come close to how upset I am.
Well. It's kind of a waste of our money, you know.
Okay, well, I tell you what, if you want to cancel your subscription, I understand. Is that what you wanted to say?
No, it's not what I want to say, but I mean, I just took a pretty good shellacking from that last guy. You got people calling up, calling me. That guy, he was going into my mental state, saying I was mentally deranged and everything like this.
Well, I don't think he said you were mentally deranged.
Well, he said that I had some mental problem. And that's quite a lot to take from a guy. And on top of that, I'm paying you $10. I paid you $10 tonight so I could go ahead and get some rough jail sex, which, you know, I'm being facetious.
Well, look, Jay, I don't think it's all that bad, all right? We got to take a phone call here and move on. 877-876-7445. Let's see. We have on the line here, I believe this is Ricky. Ricky, you're on a Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, sir. Thank you.
Hey, I was just calling to make a comment. I am a 43-year-old black male. I have a son. He's 9 years old. I teach him to walk up straight. No swag, no none of that. And if a black guy or any other guy approached me with a hoodie or with a little swag, I'd be very concerned. You know,
this Jay Santos, sir. Are you saying if I walked up to you, you'd be scaring me? You should be scaring me.
I'm not scared of you, but I would be concerned. I would be like thinking about what is this guy going to do. You know,
I want to do that one lady is tell her. I mean, Subcommander Gleason wanted to check her out for how big. You know, I said it to the other guy. I guess I'll say it to you. I don't mean to be crude, but how big her ass was, because she's getting into this van. And
all right, it was a weight issue.
That was very rude. That was very rude.
How do you say it's rude? If we're trying to protect the lives of these five kids, she's stuffing herself and five kids into a van that really... I'm telling you right now, Subcommander Gleason took a picture of it. I looked at it. I said, I can't believe she's not going to get 100 yards down the road before there's a gasoline fire.
Oh, come on. Did you hear of any such thing happening?
Yeah. No.
That's not. That's one in a million shots. That's not going to happen. You know, that's...
Are you a truck driver? Am I understanding you're a truck driver, sir? Is that it?
Yes, I am a truck driver.
So you'd be familiar with axle strength, what you call I don't know how you say it, but you guys have a... Yes, sir, that's right. Yeah, so are you telling me, are you telling me some of these little things...
It's not going to hurt a van unless the van is already raggedy or tore up or something.
Well, these, you know, these vans that come over here from Japan, some of these economy models we get from Korea and some of these places that have, you know, they got little small, they got little tiny people over there. And,
oh, come on, don't be silly.
Well, they do have much smaller people. This gentleman's laughing, well, but they do have much smaller people.
Well, he's making me laugh right there.
What, so, in other words, they make their vans over there for small people.
Well, the gentleman's laughing.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. I was in China, I told you, 30 years ago, and I've never seen such huge people in my life.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, I was in China. You know, this thing about Asians being small? I was in China. Everybody was 6'5" over there. They were huge. Huge. So this stuff about small Asians, you talk about Vietnamese? Or because they tend to be short.
But the Chinese are not small people. I did a tour in China. They are not small people.
You did a tour with a rock band or something?
No, I served 12 years in the military.
Well, I can tell you that
Yeah, we're done.
Well, Mr. Henry, I didn't have a chance to talk about the size of this woman. Well, okay, the size of her ass.
I don't want to talk about her ass. Thanks, Ricky, very much for your call, sir. I got to talk to my boss. He's coming up. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. We also have the another question, but David Hall is pissed.
Yeah, he is pissed.
I got to talk to him. Coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, that's pretty cool, because I want to talk.
I don't care.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. All right, so I guess I've got to talk to David G. Hall as soon as you have him, Dave, or as soon as you have him, bud.
Get him up here on line two as quick as I can.
That's fine. You don't have to tell me what line he's on, just whether or not we've got him or not, okay? Do we have him or not?
Yeah.
Okay, David.
You pretty much know what it is I want to talk to you about.
Yes, it's the audio.
Yeah, the audio. Now, I heard you during that break. And all you're doing is breaking people's rocks, right? You're busting castanets, pissed off at all kinds of people, pissed off at me, pissed off at the company, pissed off at the lack of support. Meanwhile, you're the guy that hasn't got the audio on.
You're right. I'm the guy that hasn't got the audio on. You're right.
So who are you blaming for that?
Well, you heard me during the break.
Yeah, I heard you during the break. You're talking about how you're not getting all this support.
You heard me.
Well, let me tell you something, Phil. You're the guy with the finger on the button. You can turn that audio on or off. You're the guy that can remember to turn the audio on or remember to turn it off.
Since when is that a job that any talk show host in the history of the world has ever had? I'm a talk show host. I'm a radio personality. I come up with the stuff to say on the radio. I come up with the creative approach to the show. I write the freaking show. I produce the show myself. I work the board here on my end. Since when am I also the guy that has to have the technical know-how to fix this? To make sure that we have that. To make sure that we have something else. I've had to do that out of necessity.
You've had to do that because you're a power... You're a control freak.
A control freak. Yeah, that's right. Every other company I ever worked with. No, I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, you better watch... Yeah, exactly. Watch what you say.
Don't tell me to watch what I say. You know what I'm dealing with.
You watch what you say. And the next time you want to do a break and you turn your audio off, that's your choice that you cut that audio feed.
Because there's calls being screened and we've got other things we're talking about.
All right, so you want to protect what's going on in the studio during that particular time.
Right.
You sure as heck didn't want to protect in that last break. You were going off six ways to sunset.
Right, I wasn't screening phone calls.
All right, so when you cut that audio feed off during a break... Then you're the guy that's got to remember to turn it on.
I know that.
Then you can't sit there and start blaming everybody else.
I'm telling you that I sounded off on a state of affairs that's been going on and on and on and on and on. And it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out who I'm talking about and what I'm talking about, and you know it's true as well.
No, I don't know it's true. No, I don't. No, I don't. I know there's a contractual commitment that you have. There's a contractual commitment. We all have a contractual commitment. And if you want to do things different, and if you want to do things your way, then you're going to have to take responsibility for that.
Right, right. Yeah, I got it.
And you're going to have to make sure that audio feed's turned on. You got a subscription model. You got people who are subscribing to your radio show. They're tuning in every night to watch your show, and then all of a sudden there's no audio. You saw the comments in the comments section. You know that's pissing people off.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all.
Well, you know what? They're blaming you. They're not listening to all the other excuses you got. You're the guy they're blaming. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm listening.
So you can talk about how you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have something else. At the end of the day, you're the guy. Your listeners don't want to hear it. Your listeners want a show. They've been out there working all day long, breaking their hump. Now they want to sit down and they want to listen to an entertaining radio show. They don't want to listen to your problems. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I understand.
If I'm saying anything that isn't true, you go ahead, you tell me.
Everything you're saying is true.
These people, this is called entertainment. It's called show business. They don't give a damn what happened to you. You're supposed to give a damn what happened to them. They're breaking their ass. They're driving a truck. They're suckling babies. I don't know what the hell they're doing. But they come home. They flip on the internet. They flip on the radio. They flip on your video feed. The Phil TV and HD, whatever you call it. It's a nice picture, Phil. It's a beautiful picture, in fact. That's a beautiful ocean behind you. Too bad there's no audio that goes along with it. Let's make you feel like a real schmuck, huh?
It sure does.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. It makes you look like a schmuck, too. When you're sitting there going, bah, 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 and nobody can hear a thing. You want to know why I'm calling you up and I'm breaking your castanets? Because it's been happening too much. That's why. And you, the more it happens, the more people are going to say, why am I paying for this subscription to watch a video cast where every break I can't hear the audio? You know, there's nothing that I can do. You can't change the situation, Phil. What do you want me to say? You want to hire an on-site producer? That's going to come out of your pocket.
I understand.
Well, why don't you do that?
I don't know. It's a big expense.
Yeah, it's a big expense. You already fired, I don't know how many producers you fired.
I didn't fire Jason.
Well, I know that. You didn't fire him, but that other guy you did.
Yeah, the other guy I did.
You gave Jason hell, didn't you?
Let me tell you something, man. We ain't talking about that right now. We're talking about that audio feed.
But you gave him hell.
You know, we changed the show halfway through his tenure as producer. We went from being a news talk show, all of a sudden we started doing a comedy show. It was a lot to ask of the guy. I put a lot of people through a lot of stuff because suddenly there were different demands on the show. That's stuff that you don't understand. That's stuff nobody understands. Only I understand it.
Oh, here we go. Only you understand it. Only you can prevent forest fires, Smokey. So only you...
I'm saying that I know how to do this show. I know what it needs. I know what it takes to screen it. I know what it takes to produce it. I'm the only guy in the world that knows how to do this kind of a radio show. And rather than fight me on it and tell me, no, well, we there's nobody that can sit down and say to me, we know how to screen your show, Phil. No, they don't.
Well, if they sit down and they say that to you and they're wrong, what are you going to do? You did what you did. You took over the screening.
Right.
And now you got to cut off the audio, turn it back on, cut it off, turn it on. You're getting overworked, man. This job is too much for you. So either you hire an on-site producer or just live with the fact that your subscribers are going to be pissed off and gradually going to start dropping their business with you because they can't get the audio every other break.
It happens maybe once, you know.
Once what? Once an hour?
No, it doesn't. It happens maybe...
Once a show?
Maybe once a show.
Oh, well, is that all? You better get it together here and figure out what it is you're trying to do, my man. Either that, if I were you, I would make it a permanent move into television... I'd leave radio far behind, just start working as a TV actor, live in an apartment in Hollywood, live the way those people live, you know. Sit by the phone, wait for the call for the audition, and wait around every for maybe 6 months, 7 months, 8 months before you can actually sit down and do something creative. That's what you want to do? That's what your life's going to be. Otherwise, you're going to just suck on it. And in the meantime, figure out how you can get that audio turned back on during a break. Understand?
I understand.
Hall out.
Hall out.
Better turn your fan off.
Oh, man, what a nightmare. All right, well, having said that, welcome back. That was me getting my ass chewed.
Yeah, like nobody could figure that one out.
Yeah, in case there was anybody that had any doubts. All right, our very first question of the night for the free hoodie was the following question. Let me put my glasses on so I'm making sure that I'm not butchering this. The very first question of the night was the name of the very first character ever performed on the Phil Henry Show. Now, the second question of the night is the name of Margaret Gray's husband. What's the name of Margaret Gray's husband? Now, once we ask all five questions, and once you have all five answers, we will immediately open the phones up, and the first person to call with the correct answer to all five questions is the winner of the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie. It's as simple as that, okay? I indicated that we might have all questions asked by the end of this hour. It doesn't, maybe. We'll probably get three of them asked. So the first question was the name of the very first character ever performed on the Phil Henry Show. What's the answer to that question? The second question, the name of Margaret Gray's husband. What's the name of Margaret Gray's husband? And those are the first two of five questions that we're going to ask this evening. 877-877-Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, that is. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bob Green is going to join us here. I guess we could bring him up right now, but we want to hold you over, Bob, for the next segment to talk about this thing called pink slime and what it is that you have had to do and what it is other grocers have had to do. Bob has been the head of Fraser Foods now for the last 20 years, the founder of Fraser Foods, a number of grocery stores throughout the Southwest. Bob, tell, what is pink slime?
Well, Phil, pink slime is a kind of filler. It is a meat product filler. These are the scraps, if you will, that are taken the side of beef or pork product is cut up. These are the scraps, and what these are taken and put into is a kind of a filler that is used in hamburger. It's used in all kinds of ground beef products, and it might even be used in some sausage or in some beef products. Now, this Jamie Oliver is a chef who made an issue out of this, and as a result of him making an issue out of it, because he's on television and there's a lot of people that watch his TV show, and I guess they think he's, you know, a wonderful guy, it became an issue, this what he called pink slime. We call it a meat filler product, which is exactly what it is. He gave it this name so that he could be sure to get people emotionally involved, not thinking very clearly. And as a result, stores are dropping it. We've had to drop using it in some of our meat products. I have an overstock of this meat filler product. And what Jamie Oliver has basically done by getting people to stop using this so-called pink slime or meat filler product is he has stuck guys like me with an overstock of the stuff, and I've got to do something with it. So now what I have to do is put it into our meatloaf in the deli. I've got to put it into some of our ground beef. I might even have to put it into some of our ground pork or our ground turkey. And you know why? Because some TV chef decided that he wanted to send out a lot of autographed pictures.
So you're obviously you're angry and you feel this was motivated by a celebrity chef.
Absolutely. I am angry. And it was motivated by a celebrity chef.
All right. Let me ask you this, Bob. The idea of beef scraps, it's never really appealed to people. Not a lot of people. I think you would agree. The idea of these meat scraps going into hot dogs, the idea of these meat scraps going perhaps into some kind of meat product intended for humans. So isn't this sort of the last stand in this battle to get rid of this kind of thing?
I don't know, Phil. It's a celebrity chef who's got the ear of a lot of women and a lot of people that stay home and watch that kind of thing. I don't know what they do with the rest of their lives, but they're sitting and watching their celebrity chefs, and they're going out and doing as they're told, and making problems for myself, Cargill, the big grocery chains, my stores. We all have to now get rid of this meat filler that we've used for years. Well, guess what? Now it's going to go into the meatloaf. I'm not going to throw it away.
So you're going to continue to use this, only you're not going to let people know that it's in there.
Well, there's nothing that says I got to let them know anything other than that, on the package of ingredients.
What about your meatloaf in your deli?
Well, the meatloaf in the delis will say there's some meat filler. I'm not going to say there's pink slime, and I'm not going to put a big neon finger pointing to the meatloaf with a sign on it that says pink slime. It's not going to be a pink finger, and I think that's what some of these people want.
All right, Robert Green with us from Fraser Foods. We're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and talk more about this pink slime, this meat filler product that has got some consumers up in arms. Certainly has the one celebrity chef, as Bob indicated, Jamie Oliver, up in arms, and it has a number of stores, big, big stores, who are now scrambling to get rid of this stuff out of their meat products. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous
877-876-Phil. All right, so we got two questions out of the way. We're going to ask a third question, then we'll ask a fourth just before the end of the break, and then we'll ask the fifth question right at the beginning of... Maybe we should ask it at the very end of the first segment. Yeah, next hour. So the first two questions. Tell me the name of the very first character ever performed on The Phil Hendry Show. Number two, the name of Margaret Gray's husband. Okay. And here is question number three. We need the names of Bobby Dooley's sons. The names of Bobby Dooley's sons. So all three of those questions you now have. And we will give you the fourth very shortly. And then the fifth. And there you go. All right. Welcome back to the program. I'm just so frustrated with myself. I can't. I know that this doesn't affect you guys that are listening to the radio. That much I do know. But it really pisses me off when we put a great expense to doing internet video, and I'm sitting here and I got to worry about whether an audio feed is turned on and off because of just because of the situation that I've been put in. Just really. And I'll tell you something right now, man. I don't forget these things. I don't. I will deal with them one way or another. I just, you know, some people are clueless as to what it is that needs to be done to produce a radio show. Some people, and I never thought I'd meet them, but now I know full well. So here's what happened today in the House. I got to get my mind off of that. Otherwise, I'm just going to, I swear to God, I'm going to kill somebody. I mean it. Lawmaker chastised for wearing, you know, if I tell you what, instead of watching my video cast tonight to make sure that I don't say anything bad, put the freaking money into helping this show technically. That'd be a real good one. Representative Bobby Rush donned a hoodie during a speech on the House floor on Wednesday, deploring the killing of a Florida teenager, Trayvon Martin, receiving a reprimand for violating rules on wearing hats in the House chamber. The Illinois Democrat spoke out against racial profiling, and as he removed his suit coat and pulled the hood on the sweatshirt he was wearing underneath over his head, he said, "Just because someone wears a hoodie does not make them a hoodlum." Rush was interrupted by the presiding officer. When I say Rush, by the way, I'm talking about Bobby Rush, not the Rush that most people are thinking of. Rush was interrupted by the presiding officer, Mississippi Republican Greg Harper, who reminded him that the wearing of hats was not allowed and members need to remove their hoods or leave the floor. Members need to remove their hoods. I guess he wasn't the only one. On Tuesday, the 17-year-old Martin's parents spoke on Capitol Hill at a Democratic-sponsored panel on racial profiling. Rush founded the Illinois chapter of the Black Panthers in 1968. He served 6 months in prison for illegal possession of weapons when he was in his 20s. He went on to get a political science degree from Chicago's Roosevelt University, won a seat on Chicago's city council in 1983, and was elected to Congress from Chicago's South Side in 1992. In 2000, he defeated Barack Obama, then a state senator, in a primary battle for that seat that he eventually won. In 2000, he defeated Barack Obama, then a state senator. Okay. He lost a son to a shooting in 1999. He's been a strong advocate for victims of gun violence ever since. There's a rule that says you, you know, can't wear hoods and you can't wear hats and all that stuff. Here's the problem that they had today. It was a gentleman by the name it was a representative named Emmanuel Cleaver, who said, okay, that's fine, but would you apply that rule equally? Because the dress wear rule for the House of Representatives has been violated continuously. And we don't ever hear anybody told, well, would you take that hat off? Would you not wear that jacket? Would you not do this? And he said, it's no problem asking Rush, you know, to take the hood off, but all the other times that people have violated the dress code and nothing has been said, you got to start to apply this in a uniform way. And he's right. He says, otherwise, people are going to start feeling singled out. Now, the picture of that slob Zimmerman that you guys rightfully, as well as I rightfully observed as looking like a mugshot, is a mugshot from a previous arrest. So he's been arrested before. He got arrested for getting into it with a cop. Some kind of a resisting arrest. So that is a mugshot.
Yeah, look like a mugshot.
Yeah, he looks very unhappy. He doesn't look like the happiest kid at the birthday party. That was a mugshot, and it was one taken of him when he was arrested. And finally, number three, you know, it started to happen what I knew was going to happen. And that is, here come the people. Well, you know, not all the facts are in. And maybe this kid, I just personally want to remind everybody, you know, there's one guy with a gun and one guy without a gun. There's one guy with Skittles and Arizona iced tea and a cell phone and the other guy in a truck following that guy. Okay? Now you have one dead guy and another guy that's alive. The dead guy is the guy with the Skittles, the phone, and the iced tea. The living guy is the guy with the gun that was following that guy. And you're telling me that guy that was being followed with his Skittles and his iced tea somehow precipitated the rightful annihilation of his own life. Right. Roger.
Yeah, sure.
We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have two more questions to answer, and then we'll start taking the winner of the hoodie next hour on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Pacifico. Bill Henry. About it.
All right, I'll get to it. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And our number is 877-876-7445. Now, we got a hoodie to give away tonight. It's the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie. And, you know, for anyone that might think we're taking advantage of this terrible news story, we've been selling the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie for months. This has been in our shop for months. And we're quite obviously giving one away on the show tonight because there's a lot of people that are wearing hoodies now saying the following thing. I'm going to wear a hoodie, and it doesn't make me a criminal. If you want to wear a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, we got one. They're in our shop. You can buy one if you want. But tonight we're giving away one on the air here. And we're giving it away to people who can answer the five Phil Henry Show questions that we will pose to you. We've asked three of them so far. I'm now going to ask the fourth. And to refresh your memory, the three questions that I asked were as follows. Give me the name of the very first character ever performed on the Phil Henry Show. Number two, the name of Margaret Gray's husband. Number three, the names of Bobby Dooley's sons. And now, the fourth question tonight, and we just had the guy on the air, the California city where Bob Green's Fraser Foods is headquartered. Where is it? The California city where Bob Green's Fraser Foods is headquartered. Before we go to our next break, you'll get the final fifth question of the night, and then we'll need your answers. And if no one has all five correct answers, then, you know, maybe we'll do it again tomorrow night with a separate set of questions, probably. Or maybe we won't do it. Maybe we won't give away the shirt. And the reason why I say if nobody has the answer, you know, these are some, you got to be a pretty stoned Phil Hendry fan. And I don't know how many of you are still, quite frankly, not dead from either a drug overdose or you were knifed in a prison yard fight.
Man, did you tell people that in prison?
I'm kidding, okay? God.
Yeah, you make him sound like a jailbird.
I'm joking. I mean, I hope you have the answer. I don't know how many of you out there that would know the Phil Hendry Show that intimately are still walking around upright and not, I don't know, in sections in a suitcase off the side of a freeway someplace, having just been visited by Henry, portrait of a serial killer. All right.
Shut up.
Bud gets scared.
Now, did you get scared of that movie, Bud?
I don't like that movie at all.
That's a scary movie, huh, Bud?
Yeah.
That flick is so good, man.
You're mine.
Don't hit the microphone, you fool. What do you mean I'm out of my mind? That flick is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Are you telling me Henry a serial killer or a portrait?
No, I'm not talking about... I'm talking about Henry, portrait of a serial killer.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Pretty good movie, man, I'll tell you that.
Damn good movie. Creeps you out. It's supposed to creep you out. It's a freaking creepy story, man.
That guy's weird, especially when he sticks that one guy in the eye with a pencil.
That's right. God, those two cats in that movie. Well, they were based on two real guys. You know that, right?
Yeah. You told me already.
Oh, I did? Well, I'm going to tell my audience then. They were based on two real guys. They're based on Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole. Those two guys traveled together. And I saw that Otis Toole interviewed on one of these shows. Man, that guy's from outer space.
What was he doing?
Oh, he was freaking weird, man. This cat was sitting there going, yeah, that's right, you know. And then the dude goes, you talking about cannibalism? he's like laughing and indicating that when the subject of cannibalism was brought up, he was indicating that it was, you know, gave him a sexual rush.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy, that Otis Toole was a real piece of work. Now, it just so happened that on his deathbed, I say just so happened, it probably was the work of... I believe his daughter actually elicited, it was his daughter or someone, Otis Toole. I didn't know the guy had kids. That's in and of itself, that's bizarre. A man like that could father a child that would grow up to be at least this normal. That I think it was the daughter at Otis Toole's deathbed who got him to confess to murdering Adam Walsh, who was... as you know, the son of John Walsh, the man who started the show.
This guy started America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, that's why he started America's Most Wanted.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he started America's Most Wanted because his son was killed. So this guy, Otis Toole, I think, confessed to that murder on his deathbed. Now, Henry Lee Lucas, as far as I know, is still around. Or did he croak, too? That guy... That's both of these guys, you know, and I'm not trying to say anything, but both of them had just the most unbelievably, gothically horrific childhoods that you could ever imagine. And just, I don't know, it educates you as to just how depraved the human being can be with your own children, because both of them were sexually assaulted repeatedly as kids. And in the case of Henry Lee Lucas, I believe he was stabbed by a member of his family. Might have been his own mother, which reduced one of his eyes to just this sort of, you know, weird-looking thing in his head. I mean, the cat had a really strange look to him because one of his eyes was just...
Yeah, it looked like the eyeball put wrong in a socket or something.
Yeah, when they went to put it back, they put it in crooked. That's what I've seen.
Well, whatever, man. I mean, it's not... The man's disfigured as a result of some brutal act. So it just... You recoil. And when you hear stories like that, I don't know if you're like me. When I hear stories like that, all I want to do is find the kids that are still okay and put a wall around them somehow, protect them from that. And you hear these stories all the time. I just saw another one here where this girl went to jail for 20 years. This girl went to jail after killing her father, because this piece of garbage was raping her and beating up her sister. I mean, they were going through this as kids, and she finally, I don't know what age, She picked up a gun one day and blew him away.
But they put her in prison.
They put her in prison for 20 years, man, in Missouri, I think.
Yeah, you've got to go to prison to kill somebody.
No, not if it's a, if it's an act of self-defense. And see, what's happening more and more, a lot of these women are pleading, well, if I didn't kill him, he was going to kill me. So it's an act of self-defense, and a lot of them are being either the charges are being dismissed, or they are being found not guilty, or they're being let out of prison. And in the case of this girl, I can't remember her name. It was in the state of Missouri. And in any event, she was in jail for 20 years until the outgoing governor of Missouri, Matt Blunt, commuted the sentence and let her out.
Oh, so she got out.
She got out. And she also had a reunion with the cop. There was one cop in this town that believed her, that saw her side, that was not asked to testify. He was not brought to the stand either by the prosecution or the defense, which was a glaring... Obviously, the prosecution is not going to bring this guy to the stand because he's going to say things the prosecution doesn't want him to say. Like, frankly, I thought she had a right to kill him because he was sexually abusing these girls and he was doing these things. But they didn't bring him to the stand. But the defense didn't either. Because the defense wasn't buying it. They thought it was good cop, bad cop, and that she was being set up. And nonetheless, what happened was she went to prison, but this cop always maintained that he believed she was innocent, and he was one of the people that...
You know the name of the cop?
I don't know his name.
How do we know you're not just making all this up, man? You ain't got no names or nothing.
I'm not making it up, okay? I saw it on the tube.
Yeah, how could it be made up then?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you really can't believe everything you see on TV.
Are you guys nuts or something? I'll tell you right now. During the next break, I'll get the name.
You can't, man. We're doing other stuff.
Oh, that's right. We got to give away the hoodie. Well, all right. I'll do it at some point. We do have to give away our hoodie. So I've given you the four questions. It's time now for the fifth and final question. And what I'm going to do is put all the phones on hold until such time as I ask the fifth and final question. Then I will release the hold button and we'll see who we have, if we have a winner. So the first four questions that you needed to answer correctly tonight are the following. The name of the very first character ever performed on The Phil Hendry Show. That's number one. Number two, the name of Margaret Gray's husband. Number three, the names of Bobby Dooley's sons. The fourth question was, the California city where Bob Green's Fraser Foods is headquartered. What's the name of the California city where Fraser Foods is headquartered? If anything stumps people, it's going to be that one. And now the final question of the five that you must have answered correctly for the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. The first person with all five answers wins. So that'll be the first person, the first line that I answer here tonight. Number five, in what part of his mother's house does Larry Grover sleep?
Man, that's a tough one for me.
I don't know. I think the other one. So the five questions in quick succession. The name of the very first character performed on The Phil Hendry Show. Number two, the name of Margaret Gray's husband. Number three, the names of Bobby Dooley's sons. Number four, the California city where Bob Green's Fraser Foods is headquartered. And the fifth and final question, in what part of his mother's house does Larry Grover sleep? And no, that's not some Freudian question.
Yeah, I was going to say, people probably say, well, you're probably talking about sex.
No, all right. Anyway, those are our five questions. We're going to take a break. We'll be back either with the name of a winner or some further information on that. And more in our news and information hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I'm releasing the hold button now. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The bat, huh?
I can't believe that. I thought it'd take a bunch of people to get a winner.
Yeah. That guy had it right away.
He did. And the winner is Gary Barsetti, who lives in El Sobrante, California. So I learn something new every day. I've lived in California my whole life. I'm a native California. I never even heard of that town. Have you heard of it?
I never heard of that place.
Where is it at? Is it down like in East L.A. or something?
Is it down in East L.A.? No, it's its own town, man. It ain't in L.A. El Sobrante, California. And anyway, Gary is the winner. Gary Barsetti is the winner. Gary had all five answers correct, and he had them right off the bat. And he's suffering from laryngitis tonight, Gary, so thanks so much for bearing with all the questions. And he wins the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie that we gave away tonight. And I will give you the answers to these questions. So many of you guys probably calling in knew the answers. But Gary was, man, he was right on top of it. The very first question, the name of the very first character ever performed on the Phil Hendry Show was Raj Fanin. And Raj was on the air with us sometime back in October of 1990, I think. Number two, the name of Margaret Gray's husband is Frank. Number three, the names of Bobby Dooley's sons are Dylan, Seth, and Justin. Number four, the California city where Bob Green's Fraser Foods is headquartered is indeed Buena Park, California. And finally, number five, in what part of his mother's house does Larry Grover sleep? The service porch. Sorry, Larry, that we had to let the world in on that one, but then again, you've announced it, so...
Yeah, you talk about being on the service porch all the time.
I know, but he's always saying he's on the service porch as a way to elicit our, elicit our sympathy or something, and I don't think he ever imagined that he would be part of a contest. And then, of course, the final bit of advice that Gary gave me tonight, don't get so serious, Phil, it's going to give you a heart attack. He's absolutely right.
They keep telling you, you're going to get a heart attack.
Well, but, you know, I mean, I take this gig seriously. There's that guy again.
I don't know who that guy is, man, but it make me hungry.
He's some... Is that Jamie Oliver? Is that who that is?
Might be.
Is that guy from South Africa, that Jamie Oliver guy?
Yeah, it might be the guy that's talking all about that slime, man. Boy, that pink slime. I don't want to know about that.
What do you mean?
Well, like Phil was talking about.
Well, what is the stuff anyway? It's
it's that meat filler product, and it is slime. They have it on TV. And I showed a slime with like a pink glob of slime.
Well, that mean like in the blob, it ate up the guy's arm.
It ain't eating up nobody's arm, man. I'm just saying it's slimy. And they put that slime in a food you eat. Now, how you feel about that? Give me your feeling on that.
Well, I don't want to put no slime in. You say like in the blob.
The blob didn't happen. You're aware of that, right, bud?
Yeah.
Well, then what is it with you talking about the blob like it's real?
Yeah, what is that?
I'm just saying if they said that the pink slime's bad.
But it's not the blob. It's not eating people's flesh.
What about the flesh-eating disease?
That ain't the same thing, man. The totally different thing.
Bud, sometimes I worry about you, man.
Sometimes?
You're right. That's a good point. The blob...
I didn't say the blob is this. I said if the pink slime does.
No, man, the pink slime... What do you think it is?
What, do you think the pink slime landed here from another planet or something?
No.
It's something that they put into meat products that this chef, Jamie Oliver, he's the guy that made the big stink about it. I don't know. Maybe there were others. Maybe there was a consumers group. Maybe there was a citizens group. I don't know. But the pink slime that went into these hamburgers, and as a matter of fact, if you are watching tonight on Phil TV in HD, I got a black and white picture of it there. And there you can see the picture that I have on the screen. Cargill cuts... Pink slime output sees hamburger prices rising. Now, that's a very interesting aspect of this, because what they're saying is, if they're going to stop with the pink slime, excuse me, if they're going to stop with the pink slime, they're going to have to raise hamburger prices.
Why?
Because that essentially means for the same amount of hamburger that you are now getting, only you're getting pink slime in with the hamburger.
No, but I mean, it's all meat, right?
I don't know, man. Look, if it's all meat, then it's all meat. What are you talking about pink slime? What is that about? You know?
Yeah, well, what do you mean it's meat? Is it meat?
What?
The slime?
Yes, it's a meat. It is called, the actual professionals call it a meat filler product. It's called pink slime by Oliver and his cohorts, because that's what it looked like when they had a picture of it. It was this pink glob of something. I don't know what. Consumer activists, including celebrity chef Jamie Oliver, campaigned to ban it, calling it pink slime and showing pictures of unsightly globs on television on the internet. And obviously, if you're a cat with a big, big name like an Oliver, you know, you could do a lot of damage. And I don't know. I've had a hard time with the whole celebrity endorsement thing. By that, I mean I can go either way in terms of its benefits, because obviously if I agree with something that's being said, then I'm saying, oh, yeah, isn't that fantastic that Jamie Oliver got behind that? If I disagree with it, let's say I'm in the meat cutting industry. Let's say I'm a butcher. Let's say I'm I don't know. And now some cat says, and the pink slime is bad and this and that. Now I'm pissed off at this guy because he's going to pull a hell of a lot more interest and people and attention to the topic than anything that any industry organization is going to be able to pull. And what if Jamie Oliver doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground?
Well, he's got to know something. He's a chef, know all about what's good and everything like that.
Well, what does that mean, bud? So he knows what tastes good. Okay, I understand that. Is the pink slime necessarily bad for you? Is it indeed slime? Are these simply pictures that Mr. Oliver and his people put on the internet of something that looks the same but is worse and it's not the same product and they just simply wanted to sort of slander this whole... that whole side of the argument. Cargill's move came 2 days after leading producer Beef Products Incorporated shut down 3 of 4 facilities making the filler that makes the filler, and said 650 jobs were at risk. Cargill did not say whether any jobs at its plants were affected. So there's a little bit of a propaganda war going on here. Cargill and some of these other people are claiming that, okay, if you want us to get rid of this, that means that pink slime, in other words, if you get a pound of hamburger,
yeah,
and some of it's pink slime, then you're not getting a pound of hamburger, you're getting a pound of hamburger and pink slime.
Why do you keep calling it pink slime if not what that is?
All right, well, let's call it, if you're getting a pound of hamburger and actually some of it is meat filler product, then what you're actually getting is a pound of hamburger and meat filler product. You're not getting a pound of hamburger.
So you're saying what they put a pound of hamburger costs more?
Yes, exactly. That's what the meat producers are saying. They're saying, okay, you want a pound of hamburger, real hamburger, full hamburger, then it's going to cost you more. Now, here's what I resent, and I resent this more than anything in the world. In the chase for a dollar, which of course is what people chase, and I don't have a problem with that, but there has come a point, I don't know when we reach that point, but there's come a point where we now feel entitled to shortchange the consumer, because if we don't shortchange the consumer, why, we won't make the amount of money that we feel like we should make. So in other words, you want a pound of hamburger? Yes, I do. Here you go. Oh, well, yes, of course, there's meat filler product in it. Well, that's not what I asked for. Oh, you want a pound of hamburger? That's what I just asked you, Well, if you want the pound of hamburger without the meat filler, yeah, that's going to cost you more. Well, why didn't you tell me in the first place, man? I want a pound of hamburger. All right, here it is. And see, you see the games that are being played, and it's being played in every industry. We're going to be back with the world-famous Phil Hendry Show to bore you more with that. No, I'm just kidding. We'll be back with trying to figure out what Bud's talking about with the blob. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, how about that quarter-mass experiment, too?
Quarter-mass experiment? Oh, get out of here.
Phil Hendry.
Woo! Quarter-mass.
Now, this is a really interesting thing. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, just another shout-out and congratulations to the winner of the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie this evening. It was Gary Barsetti of El Sobrano, California, the winner of our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie tonight. He had all 5 of the Phil Hendry Show questions correct. And we'll do it again very, very soon, I am sure. All right, so, Bud, you were all scared about Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, right?
Yeah, we were talking about the blob.
Yeah, I know we were actually talking about pink slime, but the thing that I got off on when we started talking about the blob and you were all upset about Henry, And I was talking to Dan. Now, there's a movie that if you like horror movies that really disturb the hell out of you, like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. This is not... Well, we're talking about a good, disturbing horror movie. I'm not talking about Friday the 13th, and I ain't talking about any of that jazz, you know.
Yeah, you're not talking about, like, Halloween?
No, get out of here with Halloween. Those are not scary movies. No, I'm talking about a movie that's going to creep you out, man. And I mean leave you thinking about it for days and days. And a really good horror movie leaves you feeling sick about the human condition in a lot of ways, you know.
Oh, great. A lot of fun that is.
Well, I mean, you know, either you can take it or you can't. All these people talk about horror movies. They don't know what a horror movie is. Now, that flick, that Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. Now, there's another one, and here's the thing that really shocks me about this movie. I'm going to tell you about this movie. This is one of the best movies I've ever seen. This is one of the greatest horror movies I've ever seen. And on IMDb, it only got a 5.4 rating. Now, there's no way that you can watch this movie and not be profoundly moved by it. And yet, the viewers only gave it a 5.4, and I know why. It made them all scared and freaked out. See, people that want to see a good murder mystery, or they want to see a good suspense, or they want to see a good cop thriller, they don't want to be that involved in the actual world that cops and criminals and murderers and psychopaths inhabit. They don't really want to get that far into it because, you know, they want to feel that the good guy is going to win. And that the psychopath gets taken out. And yeah, sure, you see gore and the killing. But the getting into the head of a psychopath, that's no place that any movie viewer wants to go. And that's why this got a 5.4. Because this movie, Carla, that I was going to tell you about, this movie takes you right into their world. Now, this is a movie about this scumbag named Paul Bernardo, who's still in prison. And Carla Homolka, who isn't in prison anymore. And when I tell you about her, you're going to wish she was. This film follows them as they went on a murder and rape spree in Toronto, Canada, I believe in the 80s. It might have been in the 90s, maybe early 90s. And eventually they arrested this Bernardo. He's in jail for the rest of his rotten, stinking life. And she, the story is very clear, she was an accomplice all the way. She helped him. She facilitated some of this stuff. I'm not going to get into it. She's as guilty as sin, but they cut a deal with her, and now she's out walking free.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. And I'd love to be able to say, well, there's Canada for you, but guess what? We do it all the time here. And I'm sitting in a state right now where we got guys on death row that are never going to go to the death house. So, you know, I ain't going to sit here and start lording over Canada and saying, yeah, we're going to take care of business up there. Yeah, like we do. But the point is, she walked, and she's as much a piece of garbage as he is, and I'm not going to go into it, but I guarantee when you read her story, you'll agree. Now, she's out, and I don't know where she is, and I could care less. But the film that they made about this, the movie called Carla, and the two actors, Misha Collins is the guy that plays Paul Bernardo. Man, this guy hits it right out of the park. You've never seen a performance like this. The guy's phenomenal. And this Laura Prepon, I think is her name, who plays Carla Homolka, she was tremendous. The whole movie is a sickening ride into the heads of psychopaths, right into the crime scenes, right into the moment of death. Right, I can't describe it to you. You're just going to have to see it.
Yeah, but only got a 5.4. What sucked about it?
Let me tell you why it got a 5.4. I just told you why it got a 5.4. Because it was it's a real creep ride, man. It ain't no, you know, it's not the boogeyman jumping out and scaring you. It ain't Michael Myers. It's not, that's none of that. It's not Rob Zombie. Ah, you know, it's like, it's reality. Now, I mean, I don't know because I've never been in a room as a psychopath is committing a murder. But I will tell you, it sickened me to the core because the director and the way they shot these scenes. First of all, one of the most effective things to do in a horror movie is not to shoot the actual act of violence. It's to shoot one of the people that's witnessing it, the reaction of people. There's another great technique that was used often in the old days. They don't use it near enough anymore. It's to just shoot not the actual horrific scene that's going on, but the shadows. So you hear the sounds, and you only see the shadows. Well, this was used, this technique was used in this film. Not so much shadows, but the director would have the camera on her as he was committing these acts of violence. You can hear what's going on. You can't see it. You see her reaction to it. It's heavy. You know, it's not a movie. If any of that stuff bothers you at all, don't watch it. You know,
I don't want to see it. If you say it's like Henry the serial person,
Henry the serial killer, you dumbass.
Henry, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's going to affect you like that. If you didn't like Henry the serial killer, then don't see Carla, because it's going to blow you away.
Then what's the point?
I don't know. Every now and again, I like a movie that, you know, does what it's supposed to do. You know, it shows the interior. You know, they say that that theater, whether it's a motion picture theater, it's supposed to illuminate something about human beings. I mean, really show us something about human beings. When I hear these dumbasses say, well, this is the way it is. This is real violence. No, it isn't. You watch movie violence got nothing to do with real violence. Nothing to do with it at all. You can watch all the movie violence in the world, and you won't have one clue as to what the violent world is like out there. The smell of it, the sound of it, the reality of it, the vulnerability. You don't have any idea. Movie violence is jive-ass, and no director that has got out of kindergarten is going to look you in the eye and tell you seriously, this is a reflection of what's going on. Why, this is simply what the reality... Bull crap. So anytime any movie comes close to that, I mean, actually comes close to that disturbing place where you're looking at reality and it is a sickening place to be, and you may be able to escape it, but you'll never be able to escape the memory of it. You'll never be able to escape the smell of it. You'll never be able to escape the sound of it. You'll never be able to escape the fact that it exists in our world. That's a great movie. I mean, that's reality. That's the reality that they ask for. And it's not got nothing to do really with what you saw. It has more to do with the reaction to the person. That the reaction of the people and what it does to the people around it. So that's why you didn't like that movie, bud.
Yeah, are you saying I'm trying to escape on a reality?
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to say you're... No, I'm not saying you're escaping reality. I'm saying that it scares you. And it should. You know, it's scary. Real violence. But anyway, this flick, Carla, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. And I want to say it was directed by Joel Bender. It was written by Joel Bender and... Minetta Rosen. I think it was made in Canada. It is. It's a Canadian production. It was made in 2006, so it's a fairly recent film. And the performances that he got out of these actors, really good. Really good. Really scary and terrific.
They called Carla K?
Yeah, K-A-R-L-A, Carla. But this Carla Homolka, and, you know... I'm not going to go into the crimes they committed. They're gruesome enough as it is. You can go, you can read up on them, you do whatever the hell you want to do. When you read her story, the fact that they kind of deal with her, and even to this day, I think if not the DA or the what they call the Crown Attorney up there, if the Crown, if the Canadian District Attorneys didn't say so, I've heard newspaper writers up there say it. I've heard cops say it. Man, when we cut the deal with her, that was the worst thing we could have done. They regret it.
Yeah, they would have found out about that guy.
Well, you know, to hear the cops talk about it, they said, you know what, we would have caught that guy. We would have caught him, and we, you know, would have caught him red-handed.
Yeah, the cops always talk that way. They never do, though.
Well, what? What are you talking about, man?
The cops always say they're going to get the guy red-handed. They always got to do a deal or something.
Well, I don't know, man. You may be right. I don't know what the cops said to the attorneys up there that are prosecuting this thing. I don't know. I don't know what evidence they had. But now they regret it. Now they regret it because she's walking around free as a bird after having been involved in some grotesque activity that'll make you throw up if you think about it long enough. I ain't kidding you. And they let her ass walk. Now his ass, you know.
Yeah, his ass in jail, but she ever killed nobody?
What's that?
Did she kill anybody?
I don't think she actually killed, but what she facilitated and what she allowed to have happen, she was part and parcel of facilitating one thing, one particular act that'll make you throw up, okay? And she was there. She was an enthusiastic participant. And then all the other murders that were committed, she, in one way or another, helped facilitate these. She helped entice these girls to their death. She is as guilty as sin, man. And her ass is out walking around free as a bird. My understanding is she's married. My understanding is she's got kids.
What about that one? You're talking about that one lady who's really creepy.
What? Which one?
That kid.
Oh, Mary Bell?
Yeah.
Well, Mary Bell, I don't want to get into a big on thing about Mary. Mary Bell was, yeah, she killed, I don't want to get into it, okay? We'll do it another night, all right?
Yeah, tell people about Mary Bell.
Mary Bell was, she was 8 years old. She killed two little boys when she was eight. She strangled them in England.
You're kidding me.
No. No, I'm not kidding you. She went to prison, whatever prison they put eight-year-old girls in. She got out as the result of whatever the law says in England about eight-year-old murderers. And she has gone on to, I believe she's parented one daughter, and she has been granted by the government of Great Britain, this is something interesting, lifelong anonymity. What that means is, in England, they have some guarantee that you can be anonymous for the rest of your life, and that legally they will enforce that. The government will back that up. So if at any point your anonymity is broken, the government will prosecute and or protect and or continue to help you with your anonymity. That's what she was granted because of death threats.
Yeah, I don't blame them either.
Me neither.
Well, I mean, to some degree. One of the mothers of the dead kid who's still alive, one of the boys that was killed, said, well, you know, she said, I don't have my son anymore. She has a daughter. You know, the lady, there was nothing the lady said that you could disagree with. But I just keep thinking, there's an eight-year-old kid that did this, you know?
Yeah, that's a bad seed, man.
Bad seed.
Well, it is, man. Think about it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's way out there. Way out there, man. Eight-year-old girl, she strangled two little boys. And one of the little boys, she mutilated with after he was dead with a rock. She was eight.
Man, that's creepy, too.
Man, will you start crying?
I ain't crying, just creepy.
It is creepy. Well, you brought it up.
No, I didn't.
Well, you brought up the blob that led us down this road. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show here as we continue to talk about creepy stuff and freak out, bud. Amazon CEO is looking to recover the sunken Apollo 11 from the ocean. The Apollo 11 command module? They want to try to pull it up from the ocean. I don't know. I didn't know it sunk. I thought they pulled it out of the water with the astronauts. We'll see on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm looking for just a slightly better copy of this because, wouldn't you know it, just as it always does, you know, the printer is not printing 100% of the page. And
what part is not doing?
But it's not printing the whole 100% of the page. Just hold on for a minute. But the essential point is this, that the CEO of Amazon, a internet billionaire and space enthusiast.
Yeah, it's probably the way the guy talks, too.
I'm sorry, space enthusiast Jeff Bezos, you know, just like James Cameron and the other guy, Richard Branson, you know, these guys with money. Of course, Richard Branson's been at it a long time. I'm not saying these guys are not entitled, and I'm not even saying they don't have the skill, but it's interesting all of a sudden these cats with all this bread that want to go on these missions to Mars, as I call them. In any event, Mr. Bezos wants to bring to the surface from deep beneath the sea, the surface of the ocean, he wants to bring up the booster engines that powered Apollo 11 off of the pad there at Cape Kennedy in 1969. They are sitting at the bottom of the briny deep. They're out there in the Atlantic someplace. And by God, Bud, if you don't find this story, I'm just going to have to read it as is. They've been out there for four decades. These are the powerful engines that helped boost the Apollo 11 mission to the moon. Now internet billionaire and space enthusiast Jeff Bezos wants to raise at least one of them to the surface. An undersea expedition spearheaded by Mr. Bezos used sonar to find what he said were the F1 to find what he said were the F1 engines located at the bottom of the ocean there off of Cape Canaveral. According to an online announcement on Wednesday, the Amazon CEO and founder said he's drawing up plans to recover the engines, part of the mighty Saturn V rocket that launched Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins on their way to the moon in July of 1969. The five engines, which produced nearly 7.7 million pounds of thrust, dropped into the sea as planned minutes after the launch. 4 days later, Armstrong and Aldrin walked on the moon. We don't know yet what condition these engines might be in, he wrote. They hit the ocean at a very high velocity, hitting the water there more than 40 years ago, and they've been in the water for more than 40 years. On the other hand, they're made of very tough stuff, so we'll see. He acknowledged the engines were the property of NASA, but said he hoped they'll be displayed in a museum. NASA expressed excitement about the find. The space agency said it has not been formally contacted by Mr. Bezos, and they would like some more information. So that might be something you'd want to do, Mr. Bezos, is contact NASA and tell them, you know, what you found. You know?
Why'd you got to do that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's not his property. This is America's legacy. This is the legacy of our country. This is a part of our history. This is a part, if you want to say, it's a part of our birthright, you know. This was a piece of equipment that was built and set on its way by Americans in our, you know, mission to the moon. It launched three Americans to the moon. And this is not the property of this guy that runs Amazon. It's not his personal playground. And I think what NASA's saying, and I think anybody would say, well, thank you very much. That's a wonderful thing you've done. And
yeah, but I thought it was finders keepers.
Yeah, ain't it finders keepers?
Is it finders keepers? I didn't know you were doing finders keepers.
Well, I mean, you always say the possession 9 points of the law.
Well, maybe it is, man. Maybe it is.
Yeah, then what?
Well, I'm saying maybe it is, but I mean, have a little decency here. I'm just saying to this guy, and I'm not even saying Mr. Bezos would disagree with this. He probably agrees. I'm just saying NASA said they haven't been contacted yet by him, and I would think that he would contact them.
But what's he going to say? We got your engines.
Well, you can... But it's not a hard thing to say, hi, NASA, I'm a private citizen. My name is Mr. Bezos, and, you know, I funded a expedition to find these engines. We have found them. I thought you'd like to know. I am further going to, you know, make a recovery or stage some kind of a recovery effort, and maybe NASA can give them some advice. Maybe he can tell them, you know. It just seems like the right thing to do. I don't know. Because like I said, they aren't his, man. They belong to all of us. This is part of America's history.
Yeah, but that was me, man. I'd put him up in my house or something.
Yeah, I'd put him in a backyard. And you could probably have people, you know, make a slide out of him.
Yeah, I'll bet you guys would do that, wouldn't you?
I don't understand what's wrong with it.
What's wrong with it? See if you guys can just kind of wrap your minds around this for 5 seconds, okay? These are the engines on the rocket that powered the first three men to walk on the moon. They were Americans. These engines powered a rocket off of American soil in Florida in 1969. This is part of American history, okay?
Yeah, but you were around then. I wasn't.
Yeah, neither was I.
Well, yeah, I was around then, so I remember, okay? It's like saying, oh, why don't we just take the Declaration of Independence, man, and, Bud, you can use it as a placemat.
I wouldn't do that. Are you crazy? That's the Declaration of Independence.
You're a jackass. You know that?
Well, I mean, I don't understand.
You just get out of here.
That is a Declaration of Independence.
The Declaration of Independence? Man, I ought to kick your ass for that alone, okay?
Whatever.
Yeah. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced... I got to kick your ass for that segment we did with no audio. The World Hendry Show? Yeah, that's my name. Meta World Peace and World Be Free. I'm Phil World Hendry. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry, by Dan Northcraft, and by others as yet unseen. Thank you very much for being with us. Thanks for your patience. God bless. And you're right, sir. I got to relax. We'll see you guys tonight. Woo, man.
Phil Hendry.